Hey everyone, welcome back to Mormon Channel Daily. Today I am so excited to be able to speak to Blair True, Jenna Kim Jones, and Danny Sorensen from the all-new Meet the Mormons series. Meet the Mormons tells the story of several members of the LDS faith and how their faith has played a role in their lives. Today we get to speak specifically to Danny Sorensen, who tells his story in the new series of Meet the Mormons, and get to know a little bit about what that process was like and how his experience was. Well, thank you guys for being here today. I'm so excited. I was able to attend the screening yesterday and be able to watch the new videos, and they were amazing. So first off, I just wanted you guys, we're going to go around the circle, right, and introduce each other. So if you'd like to start.
Sure. I'm Jenna Kim Jones, and I've been part of this Meet the Mormons journey for a long time now, and I love being part of it, and I love the stories. Besides doing Meet the Mormons, I'm a comedian and a podcaster, and I just have a lot of fun in life, and I'm so grateful to be part of this.
And everybody knows Jenna, so it was fun to follow her around New York asking people what they know about the Mormons in the original.
So yeah,
that's where you would, you know, if you get a visual picture, just think of this blonde girl walking around New York. That's Jenna.
That's me.
And I'm Blair. I'm behind the camera. Blair True, producer, director, writer of the film, and thrilled to be here.
I'm Danny Sorensen, and I was in front of the camera for most of this, The Craftsman.
Danny's featured in our most recent, the brand new story called The Craftsman.
Right, and today we're going to be talking specifically about Danny and his story and what that experience was like. To start off, I want to start off with the director, because you did produce and direct the first Meet the Mormons movie. And so tell us a little bit about the experience with continuing that story now.
Well, when we first began the project, it was designed to be in the Legacy Theater, exclusive to the Legacy Theater and other visitor center theaters in subsequent weeks after its release. We had no inkling initially that it was going to go theatrical and it was going to go as big as it did. But when that happened, now fast forward many years later, we decided to take the original stories and pull them kind of out of the film, if you will, add new, never before seen footage, create standalone versions. Because when you visit a visitor center, you don't always have, you know, an hour and a half to watch a full length feature film, right?
Right.
Very few people have that kind of time. And so we thought it would be more applicable for a visitor center experience to just have these options where you can go and watch one, if that's all the time that you have. Or if you want to stay, the lights come up, the lights go back down 5 minutes later, and you can watch another and another, and you can stay all day, or you can just watch one at a time if you like. And so we took the old stories and made standalones, and then to keep the content fresh in the theater, in all the theaters, we added new stories in subsequent years. So we did three stories last year and two stories this year. And this year brings to a conclusion the whole, if you want to call it a franchise, it brings to an end the Meet the Mormons franchise. So we're sad to see it go, but it's time for newer things.
Yeah, time to move on. That's the way that it goes. Perfect. Now, Danny, going over to you, tell us how you came in contact. How did this come about, you being featured in the Meet the Mormons?
Well, I flew an air show in Rexburg, Idaho for John Bagley, and Blair had produced a little short movie about 7 minutes long called Mormon Mustang, Rules to Fly By, or Rules to Live By.
Yeah, I think it was a youth Mormon message or something.
Yeah,
yes, I've seen
message,
it.
So, I had seen that before, and I had known John for a while, so I went up there and flew this air show, and Blair was there, and he was walking around putting video recording chips in everybody's GoPro camera, and he put one in my camera, and nothing, I don't know what happened to it, but nothing came of it, but anyway, so I met Blair, flew the show, and then a month later, I got a call from an advanced person who was getting some information, said that Blair might be interested in doing a story on me. And after getting all this information, she passed that on to Blair. And then I started getting phone calls from him and visits to my hangar and visits to my house and revisits to the hangar and revisits to my house and meeting my wife and my daughter. And then after a while, he just said, we would like to feature you in a Meet the Mormons story. And that's the first time that we knew that it was actually a Meet the Mormons episode.
Oh, so you didn't know before exactly what it was going to
be? No, we thought it might be one of these Mormon youth message kind of things.
He's a mysterious
He's
quiet.
Yeah, his nickname is The Shadow.
Well, and I should say that the thing that attracted me to Danny was the fact that I was on the flight line where all these planes are lined up, ready to go. And I didn't know him at the time. I saw him standing next to this beautiful red biplane. And he was just dressed in a pair of jeans and a short sleeve shirt. He wasn't dressed in all the, you know, the, all the garb that the other pilots typically wear. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but it just, he wasn't flashy or showy in that regard.
Yeah.
And he certainly has every right to be because he flies a beautiful show. I mean, if I flew like that, I'd probably come out dressing like Elvis.
You know?
With sequins. <Me too. laughs> But he was just, there was just something about his demeanor and his humility that just really attracted me. And I thought, this is, there's something very, I think there's something very interesting about this man. I want to get to know him.
Wow.
And I didn't even know that he owned or even flew that plane. He was just standing by it. And as I just observed him, put the, you know, the parachute on and get ready to do his show, I thought, wow, he's the pilot.
Yeah.
And there's something very calm and just humble about this man. I want to find out what it is. What's his backstory? Because everybody has a story.
Yeah.
And everybody. And you just, it's just a matter of digging a little bit. And so that's where it led. But it was just that feeling, just looking at Danny, and he probably is squirming, you know, just hearing me say that, but because that's the kind of guy he is. He doesn't, his whole family, they would never seek for something like this. But that's what attracted me to Danny Sorensen.
Wow, that's great. And Danny, had you seen Meet the Mormons, the first movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'd seen the movie. We went and saw the movie in the theater. And then we followed up with some of those other episodes that were added afterwards. Yeah.
And how did you feel, you know, when Blair said, hey, we want you to be part of this Meet the Mormons? Like, what were your feelings? What were the feelings of your family?
My wife and I looked at each other and went, oh, I can't even. That's it. To me, it's a big responsibility because you're representing the church.
Yeah.
We're representing the values of what our beliefs are to millions of people, members and non-members.
Yeah.
And so it was a big responsibility. And we just, like Blair said, it's not something we would ever have sought. It's we're out of our comfort zone here.
Yeah.
But I think it's so well deserved as far as the sacrifices that you made for your family and just the beautiful family that you have. Such, like, it just feels so right to have you featured in these stories. And I mean, I did voiceover and I watched the story before and I still teared up watching it last night because it just, your story is that powerful.
Thank you.
Well, and what people don't realize is if somebody were to approach me and say, hey, I think you should do a story on me. I mean, obviously that would be a big red flag.
First
of all, because it's kind of like, you know, in our faith, people joke about, you know, anybody that would want to be a bishop has to be crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a huge responsibility. Right. And bishops are highly respected, but it's not something you aspire to. Anybody that would want film cameras to come into their home and follow them around for a couple of weeks has to be nuts.
Yeah.
And I would question.
Yeah.
I'd question the sanity of anybody that would want that. Yeah. So people typically are. I mean, the general response usually is, what Danny's is.
Yeah, like, are you sure?
Like, really? Us?
Yeah.
And that's just that, you know, so we're not looking for people who want to be famous or people who have been famous. These are regular but wonderful rank and file members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they're great families.
You know, a funny thing about this whole episode is that about a third of my ward, maybe half of my ward members don't even know that I do this. We had so many people.
Really?
Yeah, we had so many people move into the ward.
Oh, wow.
Between all this happening, and I think so many of them don't even know. They're going, what?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how would you know? Here's this guy who's out, you know, doing his yard work like anybody else. Yeah. Or drives a 19. What year is that?
69 Volkswagen Carmageddon.
Yeah, he's just your base. He's just like any of the rest of us. How would you know that on the weekends he's up flying an air show for hundreds of thousands of spectators?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a pretty amazing. Cool car, though. The
it
car
is,
you drive
around. Cool
I loved it. The red one?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's pretty legit. Yeah.
Yeah. I get a lot of waves.
Cool. No,
nobody waves at my wife and her Camry, but I get waves all the time.
I love that. Jenna, I want to turn over to you and just ask you, what was your role in Meet the Mormons and how did that come about? What was that like?
Well, for me, it started in 2011 is when I met Blair for the first time, and my life was very different. I lived in New York City. I was single, and he sort of found me. I'm not even 100% sure.
Well, I heard about this really funny comedian who did stand up, and she worked for The Daily Show
with Jon Stewart. Mm-hmm.
And she was, I'm talking now, she's sitting right next to me, by the way. and you were doing the, you were the, you ran the, what do you call it? You were the censor.
Yes. So they, the oh, show no had way. Some That's bad so words. Funny. It did.
Yeah. Some bad words. Yeah. And so here's this Mormon girl and she's bleep, 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 you know?
Wait, but how do you know it's when they're perfect. Coming?
Like, well, they would be in the script and time coded, right? Oh, so okay. I would write, this is what I would actually do. I would write down the time code and the word, but I wouldn't write the word because I it's like a big deal for me. I don't use bad language.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's really important that I don't. And I'm lucky that the words kind of don't stick in my mind. And so I would hear the word and then I would write an edited version of what the word would be, which all my coworkers would make fun of because I'd have all these silly words written down. And then we would work them out and bleep them out. And so people would, you know, kind of tease me about it. Like, oh, my goodness. So Blair heard about me doing that.
Think of her as the angel of New York.
Yeah.
She's this little pure, blonde, sweet, unassuming, and she's working with all these very hardened, you know,
in a hard
highly
industry.
Professional, but right in the heart of New York, and she's just thriving there. And so
people,
I wanted to meet her.
Well, that was really, it was a cool experience. People did tease me that I was sort of a unicorn as far as like, who are you and why do you exist? So Blair found me and we met and just, I think, really hit it off. And he sort of guided me through this project. It was I had only been doing stand-up for a short time, and he sort of
we came to one of your shows.
Yeah, he came and saw me perform, and
we just felt that she, because she's not going to say this, so I'm going to say it, because she's not going to sit here and tell you, and I just thought I'd be perfect to walk around New York and asking people about, but I just knew that she would be, there's just kind of an everyday girl next door quality about Jenna Kim Jones, and she's very approachable. And what you see on screen really is her. She is a sweetheart and still is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And, but so I thought this is the person that we need to have that walks around Times Square and asks people, because none of that's scripted.
Yeah.
I mean, she knew the questions basically she was going to ask, but a lot of it, there was a lot of opportunities for her to ad lib.
Right.
And we just captured bits and pieces. And of course, intercut that from South Park and other things.
Yeah.
Super fun.
So we just gave, she's good. She's quick on her feet. She's very smart. I would never want to get in a battle of wits with her because I would lose instantly. But the idea was that let's just let Jenna do what she does good. She's a people person. And so she was so good in that role. And it was really, the hardest thing was what to cut out because we had so much good material.
Yeah.
It was such a fun experience. And I was honored and I felt, I remember just thinking like, I can't believe this is happening. And at the time I didn't know it was going to be in the movie theater either, you know, and we were all just thinking like, what a cool project. This is so much fun. And then it turned into something so much bigger and sort of unimaginable for me as far as I never thought I would see my face on a giant movie screen because I told myself a long time ago, you know, the entertainment industry kind of requires people to give up some of their values and say things that I'm not comfortable saying. And so I sort of limited myself in that way, thinking like, oh, I'm just going to do stand up and be who I am and do what I love to do. And it's okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be fine.
And you've already written that off.
I had. And so when Blair said, oh, we're going to put this movie in movie theaters, my mind exploded because I'm like, wait, what? This was not an option in my life. And then it became one. And just to meet these families and to be part of their stories is really the cool part because I'm just a small piece of these stories, but they are the power and the, you know, they're the ones who make you feel the spirit. And I remember sitting in the movie theater when it first came out and my husband grabbed my arm and he said, enjoy this.
Yeah.
Enjoy this moment and remember this moment because this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that moment of just thinking, wow, these stories and hearing the song by David Archuleta and just feeling like this is an amazing moment. And I hope that people will open their hearts to it. So,
yeah.
And I think a lot of people did.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. I wanted to ask you guys, what has the feedback been like? You know, obviously there's always going to be, you know,
totally,
negative feedback and whatever. But for the most part, has it been positive? What's that been like?
Well, it's been, without, I don't mean to sound cliche, but it really has been beyond my wildest dreams.
Mm-hmm.
The whole objective of the piece was to help those who are not of our faith just understand us a little bit better.
Yeah.
To feel that, oh, you know what? They're not as weird as everybody says.
Yeah.
They struggle just like we do. they search for, the whole idea is that we struggle like anybody else, but we found something that makes a difference in our lives, that really makes a significant difference and makes our lives better, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Danny so well points out in his story, that, you know, we help, the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches us to help one another. Now, that's not anything that's exclusive to being a Mormon at all. But, you know, I have many Catholic friends and friends of other faiths. But and so I looked for feedback from them. And what they said was that, you know, we just discovered that we have a lot more in common than we ever thought we did before.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're not that different.
I have a friend that I became really good friends with when I moved to Los Angeles. And he... He is not even Christian, but he said he sat down and he watched Meet the Mormons because we were friends and he knew I was in it. And he said, I kid you not, if the missionaries had knocked on my door after that, watching that movie, I'd be a Mormon right now. So he, that's, you know, awesome. I think it surprised a lot of people.
Yes.
I think the movie really, people who, you know, had never experienced or met a Mormon, they go like, oh, I kind of like this. I feel good.
Yeah.
See, Danny's about to enter that zone because the story's not out yet.
Right.
It's being released this weekend. And so the feedback hasn't yet come in for him.
Right.
It's always fun for me to watch families go through this, mm-hmm. kind of this, that zone.
Yeah.
Where their neighbors didn't even know certain things about them.
Yeah.
And that's happened with every single family that we've featured. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you that there's going to be somebody on Danny's street who, A, didn't even know that he's already said that they don't even know that he flies.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know he was featured in this story. And then they're going to see it. And, wait, that's Danny.
Yeah.
I saw him just out mowing his lawn last week. You know,
I've been getting emails from people.
Wow.
Was that you on the billboard? Yeah, you know? And just past Sunday, as we were having a family dinner, this guy that used to live in our ward came to the house and he says, I got to get your autograph. And he says, I drive out the window over every day. And he says, I saw the billboard on the way in. I go, oh my gosh.
Oh, that's great.
There's no autographs at this house. There's no fame here.
That's great. I want to turn over now to you and give you the time to talk about a little bit more about your story and what that was like to be able to share it.
Well, the filming part is Blair said it's not invasive, maybe, but it is. They're coming in and sharing things. I mean, it's like opening your journal and letting just anybody read your journal, because we're sharing parts of our family and the experiences that we've had that we've kept very private for years. I mean, I told Blair, we were talking about Jennifer's situation, and I said it's hard to talk about 28 years later. And so we're opening that up and giving that to the public. And that was probably the most difficult part about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Was sharing that. As far as the flying scenes, I'm telling you, I haven't had so much fun flying as anybody. I'd never flown a formation with a helicopter before. And then
another plane in the boot.
Yeah.
You know, added into the mix.
And then another airplane with us there, Barry Hancock, come and did some flying with us that you see there near the end of the movie. And Barry kept getting in the rotor wash of the helicopter. He's, man, I'm getting beat up over here, and I'm just enjoying it. I couldn't see him, and I was having a great time over there. So that, and it just went on and on. I think I've been going through my journal, writing down just a chronology of what the events are. And I've got like 12 or 15 entries before we even started filming.
Wow.
You know, phone calls and visits to the hangar and all of this stuff. So it's been a very intense Lynn keeps describing it as an out-of-body experience to go through all this, because we're both looking at each other and go, I wouldn't want to be a movie star for any anything at all.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of an out-of-body weird thing. And then we see all, you know, here's this gigantic 40-foot tall head on this screen. and I don't even see that as me. I just see that as representing this interesting story. And I hope that we affect the people who see it in a positive way, whether they're members of the church or not. We all experience difficult times in our life, and we just hope that this helps people get through their difficult times.
Great. I love that. I love that you kept track, you know, of and kept this diary or this journal of the experiences, because that's something you'll be able to look back on.
Well, I'm a serious journal keeper. Lynn is too. I've kept a journal every day since December 7 of 2000 when I got promoted to captain. And I just decided from that day on, I'm going to keep a journal of everything. And so I've done that. I've got just thousands of pages. I've got, I don't know, I'm on volume 20 right now. And there's some of these journals have 500 pages in them.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, Danny was a fireman for many years and retired as a captain.
Yeah.
And that was his full-time profession.
Right.
He does air show stuff on the side.
Yeah, air shows have always been a sideline. Yeah.
I was going to have you explain, you know, for our listeners back home or our listeners that are listening, what exactly it is that you do and what kind of pilot you are. So if you could explain, go into depth a little more what you
do.
He's
an awesome pilot.
It is so cool. It is.
I wish I could see that, like, in person.
That's an adjective, isn't it? I've always been interested in aerobatics, and so I built an airplane, flew that back in 1984, and flew air shows on that for seven seasons, and then designed and built this airplane that you see in the movie, Unfinished Business.
And, which you designed from scratch.
I designed it from scratch. Built, yep. Yeah. I drew up all my own plans, and part of the reason that it took 14 years to build was because I had to draw and design and make patterns and fittings and do a lot of things over again. So,
But I've got to say, he's built a plane before and he did it in three.
Right.
Yes. But it took 14 for another very specific reason, which was
that I dedicated myself to my family and put them first instead of the airplane. When the first airplane, you'll see that in story. I don't want to give away too much here, but. So I fly air shows. So if you've been to an air show and you see an airplane doing rolls and loops and hammerhead stalls and smoke coming out of the engine, that's what I do. There's about 350 air show pilots in the country. Last count, 140 of them had a surface level waiver, which means we can fly down to the surface. They start you at 800 feet, then 500 and 250 feet, and then when you reach the pinnacle, you get to come down to the surface. And so I'm one of those 140.
Wow.
That,
in the whole country.
That can do that in the entire country. Out of 600,000 pilots, but 335 is not very many pilots doing air shows out of 600,000.
I'm in the 600,000, by the way. So I'm really special.
So that's what I do. And I fly the airplane to the show. Some people take their airplanes apart and trailer them, but I fly it everywhere I go. Fly it home, do all my own maintenance
that.
On it.
That's cool.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm flying a spy plane across country with all the bumps and, that you encounter along the way.
It's open cockpit, so I'm out there feeling the wind. And,
wow.
And when people go and see the movie, they should pay attention to the little windows that are just forward of my cockpit. There's these little oblong windows on either side forward of my cockpit, and that's where my wife sits on cross country. She's sitting underneath that.
Oh, wow.
So it's very 1930s.
Yeah.
You know, retro.
That is very brave of her. Is she used to flying with you now, or does she get scared?
She's just fine with it. She takes a little motion sickness medication about an hour before we take off.
Yeah.
And then we have a 2-hour range. We'll fly 2 hours and do a fuel stop. And if we can get to the destination in the remaining 2 hours, she's fine. She'll go along. If it's longer than that, then she wants to stay home.
Yeah.
And so far, she's been to every air show, minus a few where she was out of town. She's been to every air show with me. And I love having her there because she keeps me on track of where I need to be and when I need to be there and who I need to be seeing and visiting with and when I need to stop visiting and get back to the airplane, get ready and take off so that I'm not late for my performance.
And she's probably excited about, Danny's going to be doing a huge air show. It's the Hill Field Air Show.
Hill Field Air Show. Hill Air Force Base.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't have to fly over to that one. You have to fly
June 23 and 24.
You have to fly 8 minutes over that one.
Yeah, it is literally about 8 minutes. Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. That's cool. Yeah, that is very cool. I'm sure there are a lot of challenges that come with having to build your own airplane from scratch. And in the story, you also overcome some challenges, you know, in your own personal life and with your family. Could you give us some maybe detail about those challenges and how you were able to overcome them through your faith?
Are you referring to building the airplane itself or?
More so the personal challenges that occurred in your life. Sorry, maybe I didn't word that.
Well, as the movie shows, the biggest personal challenge that we had was when Jennifer was diagnosed with cancer. She was 4 years and 9 months old when that occurred. And I had been on the fire department for about 5 years, and just so grateful that we had that job, because you know, the medical expenses were just horrendous.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we saw much in the way of the bills of that. The insurance did a really good job for us, and we had the support of our neighbors and family in so many ways that helped us get through that. And even after all of those treatments were complete, there was still a 1 in 5 chance that she might not survive this. And and just through our faith in Heavenly Father, we knew that even if that was the choice that Heavenly Father made, it'd be difficult, but we were just submitted our will to Him and let it play out. And we're just so grateful that it played out.
Yeah.
In a very positive. I mean, there's some Jennifer has some learning deficits. There's some struggles there still, and always will be. There's like a line item list of behavior and learning things that are characteristic of this type of traumatic brain injury. And so we deal with those every day.
Yeah.
They don't ever go away. We'll have them as long as she's with us, and or as long as we're with her.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's going to outlive me by a long ways. But just our faith in our Heavenly Father and our Savior just helped us to get through that and to deal with it and accept that God's hand was in it, taking care of us throughout the whole thing. It was a tremendously beautiful experience,
yeah.
Really.
I love that you mentioned that. I think a lot of the times people maybe outside of our faith or even in our faith have this misconception that because we follow Jesus Christ or we try to do everything right, that bad things aren't going to happen to us, you know, or we're never going to have trials or whatever it is, or we lead just these very happy lives. But the truth is that we all have challenges, and they can either build our faith up like they did to you, or, you know, they can tear our faith down.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's up to us to decide, you know, how we're going to react. And that's why faith and Jesus Christ play such a big role.
It really does. I look back at some of our prophets, President Kimball, you know, back in the 70s, and that throat cancer that he had, and how difficult that was for him. And here he is, the prophet. I mean, he's the leader of God's church, and he was suffering this extreme difficult challenge that he had. And it's not the challenge; it's how we respond to the challenge that makes or breaks us.
Right. Exactly. Blair, turning over to you, what about Danny's story made it so special? And also for the other families that you used, what were you looking for exactly?
Well, there's some common, if you want to call them thematic elements, that all the families share. And that is that it's one of that there is something that is central to their lives that helps them get through the daily challenge of whatever it is that they face. So that's central to all the stories. The other, of course, is that they're all very approachable. They're willing to share. They're authentic. They're real. That's something that all the stories have in common. One of the things that really made Danny's, or a number of things that made Danny's story stick out to me and made me at least want to do it. And one, I will confess, was kind of for a selfish reason. And that is that I just have always gravitated towards aviators. You know, we had a little taste of that with the candy bomber,
mm-hmm.
who was a great aviator. And the two of you have met, right, Danny? You guys,
yes,
you
met. I met Gail several times.
And if you look, by the way, I'm just going to diverge from you. If you look at the shots of Danny from the cockpit when he's flying, if you look closely off of his right shoulder, there's a signature right behind him, and it's Gail Halverson's signature.
Oh, very cool.
So Gail signed his plane.
He signed that.
Wow.
But I've always had an affinity for people who fly, and for planes and the people who fly them. And so that was certainly something that kind of caught my eye in the beginning. Aside from that, it was just Danny's attitude about flying and about the similarities between what he went through crafting this plane as simultaneous to this in the hands of Heavenly Father, he was crafting his life. And that's the metaphor that really caught my attention. And the name of the plane, you know, the name of the plane is Unfinished Business. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail. The story will go into more of that, but you can kind of just start to, as you think about your life and where you are, you know, Danny is now, you're 67, mm-hmm. and he still climbs up fire poles. Okay, most people yes. at his age, you're lucky you just slide down that. A fire pole, but he can still climb up. I can't even climb up the fire pole, and he's got more than 10 years on me. Yeah. I can't climb up that thing. But it was just, I think the center piece of his story is that God can do more out of our lives and can craft more out of us than we ever could on our own, if we will just trust in him and trust in his plan for us. And if we'll be patient and faithful, his will be made known to us. And Danny said something, you know, the other day about that it occurring to him that all the aspects of his plane, all the materials, the raw materials, the wood and the wings. I mean, how did you put that? It all came from Heavenly Father.
Everything came from nature.
And he has the gift to be able to engineer it and craft it and build it and fly it and make it beautiful and make it spectacular and ride around in it and when nothing existed before. So there is an element of our partnership with God also in crafting this plane. A strong element of that. So I think that's the central thing that really attracted me to Danny's story.
Great. I love that. Are there any more questions that you guys would, or not questions, but anything else that you'd like to specifically talk about? Or,
well, I would say if you like flying sequences,
it is it's amazing.
Yes.
The aerial photography and just, I mean, shooting it, of course, was naturally just a whole lot of fun. I mean, there was a lot of stress that went with it because you have to get a lot of people and machines in the right places and in the right order and hope for good weather to have it happen. But when it all comes together, it's a beautiful sequence, and there's a number of flying sequences that are just epic.
Yes, I love them. Where were these sequences filmed at?
The opening sequence there was just the takeoff. Is at my airport at Bountiful Sky Park here in Woods Cross.
Okay.
I don't know why it's called Bountiful Sky Park if it's in Woods Cross, but yeah. that's what it is.
Okay.
And then we just flew east over the mountains there, and any of the scenes over the water, that was East Canyon Reservoir.
So the Wasatch Back, yeah, you know, the mountains that surround the whole Wasatch front, all the way up through Heber and Midway and Park City and just
for me, seeing the movie and seeing the aerial scenes was absolute ethereal because I'm the only person that's ever flown the plane, so I've never seen it in the air.
Right.
I've only seen it from me in the air, and to be able to see that in the airplane, it presents itself so beautifully, and it was just, I've got a couple of friends that I finally allowed myself to allow them to fly it here in the future. I hope they get to do that this summer. Wow. They'll both be performing at the Hill Show, so maybe if I can get them in here a day or two early, we can trade airplanes and go have some fun. But yeah, seeing the aerial work that Blair pulled off and the camera work and the cameraman, that it was just absolutely incredibly beautiful. I'm so pleased with it.
It was really beautiful to watch. Were there any challenges that came? I mean, I'm sure that there were challenges to overcome during the film process, but could you go into detail about maybe what some of those challenges were, whether for you, Danny, or you, Blair, as the director?
One of the challenges I had was that I had a leaky seal on the engine primer.
Oh.
And so I was having trouble getting that engine. So we took off that last shot at Heber, or second to last flight at Heber. I have air compressed air starter on this, not electric starter motor. And I had one shot left. I tried this four times and couldn't get it. I had one shot left. And if I hadn't have done that, we'd have had to taken the air bottle out and gone down to the fire station and get it refilled.
Oh.
And which is a long drive.
Yeah.
It fired off. So that was the challenge for me. The rest of it, just flying, is just what I do. And it was so fun.
Right.
Well, the ongoing, there's a ticking clock, right, when you're filming, and you have personnel on the ground. You have cameras mounted on the empennage, or the plane, the wings and the body of the plane itself. And I'm over in the helicopter with the gyroscopic mounted camera beneath, And those are really, those are big ticket items. They're expensive. And so the clock is ticking and you're just literally watching that meter go. And you know that every flight hour is costing you X.
Yeah.
And so we knew that we had a lot of aerial footage to get. And when we first started, I was just so nervous. Like, are we going to be able to get all this? Mm-hmm. But you just take it one piece at a time. And there are a couple of really, really cool shots that we're really proud of. And thank heavens we had two awesome pilots that were flying in sync, and we all were communicating in a safe way and with each other. And it helped to be able to, I may have mentioned this, but you know, as a low time pilot myself, I kind of speak a little bit of the language that Danny, you know, we do understand one another. So when we talk about flying certain headings and altitudes, it just kind of comes quickly. And that certainly, having that shorthand of communication, if you will, helped us to get the shots we needed fairly quickly. And then we could just put Danny's place in the perfect scenario where we'd be flying and we need Danny a little higher and a little lower or a little more to the right, or take this particular heading so we can get the sun in the right spot. And it was just beautiful. And then I knew, I never worried, because he's so precise in his flying that, I mean, he could come up right next to us and I was never worried that we were ever going to be in any danger.
Yeah.
And there's some where he's flying literally directly at the camera where we're hovering and he's pulling up into a hammerhead and he's flying right at us.
Yeah.
And we know right before he gets to us that he's going to make that hard right turn into a hammerhead. And in fact, if you've seen the trailer, that shot is in the trailer.
Yeah.
But there's just some wonderful sequences that were so much fun to fly. I felt like I was an 8-year-old boy up there. And just occasionally looking at the watch saying, okay, we have enough money to finish this. So it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Well, great. Thank you guys so much for being here. I really appreciate it. For those listening back home, where can they go watch this wonderful movie?
Well, it's called The Craftsman, and it's playing, it's opening this weekend in the Legacy Theater in the Joseph Smith Memorial Building on Temple Square. And then subsequent to that, in the coming week or two, I'm not exactly sure of the dates, but pretty soon it'll be opening in all of the other domestic visitor centers.
Great.
Throughout the United States, and I guess all the other English speaking as well. In future years, it'll be released in other languages and probably come out in other formats as they typically do. But that's the short term and kind of medium term plan for this segment.
Great. And is there anywhere that they could watch online?
No place online right now.
Okay.
The only place for those that live in the Salt Lake Valley, the only place really to see it would be the Legacy Theater.
Okay.
And it plays in rotation. So it's going to open up this Saturday and it'll be playing in rotation with The Horseman, The Coach, all the other stories. And it'll be playing, because it's new, it'll be featured more frequently in the rotation than the others. So I think it's going to play about 4 or 5 times daily now. But look on the website and navigate if you can figure out. I wish I knew the exact website, but if you can navigate to the website that over the Legacy Theater, that'll tell you the actual schedule.
Okay, perfect. And do you guys have any social media on Facebook? People can follow Meet the Mormons.
There's meetthemormons.com that has the features Danny's story because it's the most recent. So that's up online and just check. I know that LDS Living is running some things and other websites. It's hard for me to keep track.
Yeah.
Because we make this stuff and we get so focused. And I know it's out there, but I don't know all the details.
Yeah. Okay. Well, perfect. Thank you so much, Danny. Thank you for being here, Blair and Jenna.
We appreciate
having you guys. Thank you. Danny's story will be available to watch at the Legacy Theater in Salt Lake City, as well as visitor centers around the world. For more information, you can visit meetthemormons.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure that you stick around. Check out our other great content here on mormonchannel.org.